Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
I have been to a lot of boring exercises.
Yeah, I was at one last spring that was so boring.
So why was it boring? It was boring because poorly facilitated, poor content.
It just felt very monotone. It felt, it was a little bit drug out, I thought. It was super long, and it was just boring.
So do you think that in that case of the boring exercise, that the folks that were doing the exercise got anything out of that?
I mean, I think that they probably still got some things out of it. I think that they recognized that they were lacking in certain areas and they didn't have some of the information that they needed. But in general, I don't think they got out as much of it because I don't think it was very memorable.
What I think has been typical, at least of the exercises I've gone to, is they're just poorly constructed. They're almost always about the most innocuous thing that you could have happen, or it is about the alien invasion and we're all going to die.
Well,
it's like the Kobayashi Maru from Star Trek, that there's no way that you're going to survive the scenario. It's the no-win scenario.
Yes, and I think in this case, I think it felt like a scenario that they had run 300 times before. Mm-hmm. And the way they presented it, it was as if they were bored with the scenario because they've done it a bunch of times before. So I don't think it was very well done for the client to meet their specific needs.
It's really unfortunate because I think exercises are important. I think we spend an enormous amount of time in the business continuity or crisis management processes of conducting risk assessments and doing the business impact analysis, if you do those, the constructing plans, and then it's time to practice because that's how you build muscle memory. That's how you kind of understand roles and responsibilities in real life, and then the exercises are always such a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you don't want to spend all that time on the plan and then just put it on the shelf.
Woohoo! Yeah, we're done.
We did it. You know, it's obviously best to test those processes and make sure that they're working and not wait till an actual crisis to test them.
And they have to be tested in a realistic manner. I mean, we don't want to test the network switch failed. And that's your exercise scenario. But you also don't want the, hey, I'm out here in space by myself and now there's five Klingon warships about to destroy me and I'm going to die.
Right. You generally don't want to do a zombie apocalypse as a realistic scenario. While it sounds fun and exciting.
How do you defend your business against the zombies?
Right. I mean, it sounds fun and it probably is fun at the time, but are you actually getting out of it what you need to get out of it?
We conduct a lot of exercises here at BrightPath for clients, and we've come up with some unique and interesting scenarios. But I think we've learned a few things about how do you make your exercises fun and relevant.
Memorable
maybe is the right term. One thing that I think we've really done recently has been getting away from what we've called the boring linear exercise, where somebody's talking in a monotone at a podium and it's okay. Step one, here's the scenario. Step two, this happens. What do you do? Step three, this happens. What do you do?
Yeah. And now this.
And now this. What? And now that.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's an inject that you didn't see coming.
Right.
And here's that. And I don't know, because crises don't evolve in that linear fashion.
They never do.
Maybe if the scenario really is like, oh, the network switch failed and we've lost internet connectivity.
But is that really a crisis then at that point?
Ooh, you know? A crisis.
Crisis.
Is it? It depends on your organization, right? I mean, it depends on your risks.
Yeah.
But what we've been constructing more recently has been, I think, more nonlinear scenarios because that's real life. That when you get into a data incident or breach, for example, it's going to come at you from all directions. I mean, we joke sometimes that, wow, man, like life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
But it's true in those situations.
In our previous employer, we experienced that many times when we had a major situation going on. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts, too. But we have a major situation going on over here. But then we also have other things that continue to pop up as well.
What's the great scene in the movie Crimson Tide about the submarine captain, Gene Hackman, and Denzel Washington plays the XO, and they have the conflict between the old generation and the new. But there's a scene early in the movie where there's a fire, a real fire on board a sub, which is a life-threatening situation. And as they're fighting the fire, the captain orders a missile drill. And the crew reacts, but the Denzel Washington playing the XO of the boat kind of freaks out on the captain.
Yeah.
And the captain's like, we'll talk about this later. And then a few, after the test is over, they meet in this cabin and the captain's like, I think that's the perfect time to run a drill because we're going to have bad stuff happen. And then something else bad is going to happen and we got to deal with them both.
Right.
So we practice.
Well, and to be fair, is there ever a good time to run a drill?
No.
No. Because there's always something going on.
So when we talk about a nonlinear exercise, what we've done has been to combine kind of this multiple sensory experience where you've got your team in a room or you've got them virtually on a WebEx or, you know, GoToMeeting or whatever. And you're working through what feels like the typical tabletop scenario. You're going from point A to point B to point C when the phone rings in front of the communications team. And they pick up the phone and there's an actor role-playing a reporter. You can't run from that. You got to deal with it. It's not like, oh, I've read the scenario on the PowerPoint and here's what I'm going to do. It's they're on the phone and I have to react in real time.
Right. And the whole group doesn't stop while that person takes the call.
Right. The facilitator has to keep the thing going.
The group is still trying to work through the problem while the communications expert is on the phone over there. And eventually we'll get off the phone and say, hey, guys, something changed.
Yep. Okay. We're going to pause. And now we're going to have the comms team explain to us
what's going on.
What just happened.
Or an email.
Or an email.
They get an email.
Or both at the same time.
Right.
Or the general counsel gets a phone call or your sales team gets a phone call and the list goes on.
Or there's non-pertinent information that starts coming in and they have to sift through, is this something I need to deal with now or not?
So one thing we've done effectively more recently has been to interject in the exercise just completely irrelevant stuff that has a very casual relationship to the incident, you know, perhaps a physical security incident at the campus that causes people to have to step out and deal with that. It could be a second smaller crisis situation that seems urgent at first, but isn't. But the point is that this is real life. We're trying to break up the process and make it more nonlinear and catch people a little off guard and get them used to dealing with things in different ways.
Forces them to prioritize and triage as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've done that a few times. We just did that recently.
We did this week.
We did.
At least the week we're recording this anyway.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So the first thing to make your exercise not boring is to have, you know, think about this nonlinear process of how can you break it up and how can you do injects and bring the conversation forward in a different way. We've gone as far as to have radio reporters do voiceover news reports for us that we can inject into the exercise. We've had, you know, actors call in and role play different roles. We've had print news stories that have appeared. We've sent emails. We've done the phone thing as we've described. We've had people pop on the WebEx conference call for the exercise and say, hey, I just got this number. I got this situation going on. And it's just a distraction.
Yeah.
But it's to see what the group does. Are they gonna punt it? Which is really what you want, get the non-essential stuff out of the way? Or are they going to get bogged down in detail arguing about this thing that has injected itself?
Yeah. I think it's good to be creative, I guess, in this respect, because it's going to keep people interested and keep people engaged in the whole process.
Mm-hmm. So when the exercise is – this exercise has to start, by the way, with, I think, a viable scenario. And the more that you can tie it to an actual real risk that the company is afraid of or should be afraid of, then I think there's the more likelihood you're going to get good participation and a really good engagement from the group. So the more you understand about the company and some of the risks that they're faced with, that where perhaps there are gaps that are not closed.
Yep. And I think sometimes it depends on, do you know exactly what it is that you're testing? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we know we're testing this plan that they just created, but is there some kind of specific weakness that you want to outline for them so that they have to work that out? What is exactly that you're testing?
Right. Have a good scenario, construct a nonlinear exercise. And when the exercise is over, what do we do? where we conduct a good after action process. So we're trying to understand, what do we all, you know, I always like to just start with the question of what do we see here today? What did you see? I'm not asking for wins or opportunities. I'm just asking the big open-ended question. And you get interesting answers when you pose that question.
You do. Yeah. And then also that immediate discussion, I think, is important, because there's things that are just real fresh on people's minds that they want to get out right away. Mm-hmm. You know? So that initial, that those initial thoughts and observations are super important to capture. Mm-hmm.
And then what are the wins and what are the opportunities and what do we want to do about what we saw here today? And I think it's important there to make sure that you get good, concrete, clear actions, and who's going to do it coming out of that conversation, coming out of that after action. And then there should be a written report, even if it's just a few pages. But how do you translate that kind of after action discussion into here's what the report says?
Well, and what we've done too is we've done, say, a survey after. So it gives them a little bit more time, a couple of days maybe, to actually really think through the things that they want to capture in that after action as well. So the initial discussion, followed by a survey, followed by the report, followed by maybe some sort of a presentation of key findings. Mm-hmm. So then what? What do you do with all that information?
Well, then you've got work to do. You've got action items to go address and follow up on. But I also think that you should look at what's the next exercise. You know, you don't, this should not be a one time a year thing, particularly with your crisis process. You want to be able to go from, you want to be able to kind of make this a constant evolution, because you want the muscle memory with your team. You want the roles and responsibilities to be clear. Mm-hmm. You want them to be used to collaborating and working through this process. So your next exercise should attempt to break something different mm-hmm. within that process. And hopefully you've addressed those after action items that have been, you know, have been addressed in your previous exercise.
Right. So whether that be some sort of a process change or a change in the plans or mm-hmm. even just a additional training maybe is all that's needed.
Right.
To utilize the plans that already exist and then retest.
Yeah. So we do a lot of exercise work here at BrightPath. If that's something we can help you with, feel free to reach out at brightpath.com/contact or give us a call at 612-235-6435. Good luck with your next exercise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe through your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.